Can you say your name? And
Will Williams.
And you're a Veterans for Peace?
Right, I'm a Veterans for Peace. We named our chapter after Clarence Kalin, who in 1937 fought in the Abraham Lincoln Brigade. Okay. And the rest of his life, he was castigated, locked up, but he never changed course. He died a couple of years ago.
How did you meet Clarence Kalin? How do you know about him?
Well, after September 11, 2001, I saw what was happening with the streaming of the red, white, and blue, and people wanting to go and kill somebody. I had done two tours in Vietnam. I know what all this is about. And September 11 is my birthday. So when one of the journalists say people would remember this as the worst day in history of this country, I said that was bull. You know, it's my birthday. That was the greatest day of my life. And I started speaking out then and won't stop. I went to peace meetings, and that's how I met Clarence Kalin. He was a bulwark for peace ever since he came back from Spain. He has stood for peace, stood his ground, and he wouldn't back down. And we formed this chapter, Veterans for Peace, Chapter 25, is named for him, Clarence Kalin.
And are you from Madison? Or?
Yes, I live 10 miles north of Madison. Okay. In the town of Windsor.
Okay. And after you came back from Vietnam, were you active in the Vietnam Vets against the war or speaking out?
I was a member. I tossed my medals. I had two Bronze Stars and a Purple Heart, and I tossed them. They didn't mean anything. But as far as being active, I wasn't. I hated the government at that time. I didn't trust them, and all my concern was my family. And I had never tried to speak out until just before Desert Storm, when I saw that coming on the horizon. I started speaking out, and I started having more bouts of PTSD when I saw what our people were doing. And I say our people, I mean the Air Force, the way they bombed the soldiers when they were on their way back to Baghdad. And it started making me have more flashbacks. So my doctor at the VA told me, don't watch any war movies, don't watch any of that stuff, and don't be in that. I got where I couldn't handle the large crowds, so I was shut down for, I don't want to say 10 years. That was 1991. And then 2001 is when I started speaking out.
Do you find it therapeutic?
Yes.
To speak out to regain your voice?
Right. It's therapeutic in the sense I have come to grips with the part I played in Vietnam. And now I'm dedicated to peace, not to try to forget what I did in Vietnam, but to use the same amount of energy that I used in Vietnam of killing. I'll use it for peace. So,
are you, is your chapter of Veterans for Peace, is it, can you tell me how many members are?
Right now we have about, I think around 127 members in the local chapter, but it's a
nationwide
group, yeah. And we're trying to get together, like, this will go on for quite a while. I don't think it'll end soon.
Even if they tell you to end it, it'll go on.
Right, it'll go on because it affects too many people. The cuts that he's making, it affects everybody, every working class person, it affects them, the poor. Because the cuts that he's making, for instance, in the education department will hurt every kid that parents don't have the money to send them to a private school. And to double up on that, he is proposing to cut collective bargaining out of the schools. And he's based it on the idea that, well, the taxpayers are paying for these people pensions, but that's a lie. And people are not catching on to it fast enough. Teachers pay into a fund they don't get their complete salary. You know, it's almost like football players where they come in, they sign a contract, and they forego so much money each pay period that's put aside for them. But he is depicting it as if though the taxpayers are paying for this, in which they are not. So it's that divide and conquer thing that's going on here, and the budget have nothing to do with it. This
been
is
going on for 350 years in this country, and longer than that than the world of capitalism.
Yeah, and this is a nationwide effort, and I think if people could stand to watch Jim DeMint yesterday when he said collective bargaining should not be allowed in this country, in so many words. And I think it's only 10 other countries that don't have it that are industrialized. So this is a drive to, I usually say, to take people back to slavery in another form, economic wage slavery, right, where you'll work and you'll be gracious to get whatever they give you, and you have no right to complain. And that's what it's all about.
What line of work did you end up supporting your family with after you came back from Vietnam?
Various jobs. When I was first discharged at Fort Carson, Colorado, I worked in the mines in Climax, Colorado for about 6 months. Moved to Chicago, worked in the Department of Correction with juveniles at 2551 North Clark Street. Left there, came to Wisconsin, worked at the VA for a short period, drove truck delivering liquor for a few months. Then I got a job with Greyhound, stayed there 10 years. And just before the big strike the Greyhound had, I left Greyhound and went to work at the post office and worked there.
And you're able to retire from the
post office. Right.
Which is also under attack.
Right. Everybody's under attack. When wealth is concentrated at the top level, and it's easy to see, and at the bottom, people have been taking cuts for decades. The working class people have been taking cuts. At the same time, people at the top are getting bonuses. And that's the problem in this country, is money controls government. That's what it boils down to.
You know what kind of government that is? Is there a name for that kind of government?
Yeah.
Fascism.
But, you know, and that's what's happening here. That's why Koch brothers gave $43,000 to this campaign.
That
they know about, but then they're funding these other programs to undercut programs, other foundations, and many people say Bill and Melinda Gates is a good foundation and what they're doing, but they've been on this drive for union busting and privatization of education for a long time.
Right. What goes into children's minds.
Exactly. And Milton Friedman said in, I think it was 1955, that government should not be a monopoly on school education for children. So from that time forward, they've used different techniques to undermine it, and they're doing it by bamboozling many people in the African American communities, that when they hear that there's an achievement gap between black boys and others, that is something wrong. But instead of going to the crux of the problem, they say the problem is unions and teachers, which is wrong. They're saying it's dedicated teachers, so they're using this mantra to demagogue the teachers and blame them for when it's poverty, it's economics, it's called, and that grab for power and control of people.
I think you got a pretty good analysis.
Yeah. So that's what, you know, that's the way I see it, and that's why, you know, I'll be out here as long as it takes.
How long have you been in the Capitol? We're standing in the Capitol Rotunda.
I just came back in today, but I've been here for all 15 days for a short while. Like, I was sick a couple of days. I had the flu. And last night I had a meeting with Vets for Peace. And I'm trying to get them together to do a bonus army thing here at the Capitol. You know, like, we're Vets for Peace, we're nonviolent, but, you know, we stand up for our rights. And I think
we're at the point where we're going to need your help fighting for our rights. It's going to be more than just standing up.
Right, that's why I'm
nonviolent peaceful
movement.
Yeah.
Yeah, for the right to live, to exist. Yeah, because even this, after an injunction was sent down, this governor's disobeying it. And he's delaying, you know, by having these Koch brother lawyers, these high power attorneys, come up and delay it. These young people that are here, and they're mostly young now, they're depicting them, Fox News and others that come in and film them, as kids that don't know what's going on, as if it's a love-in. They mention, you know, you guys, yeah,
sleeping on,
yeah, with a girlfriend. Yep, and then you got people like Representative Grossman from West Bend, who calls them slobs. And, you know, I'm saying, I'm not a slob. Because I don't wear a Gucci suit or something, it doesn't make me a slob. And these are the same people, these politicians, that wrap themselves in the flag. They find that last refuge of patriotism. And
they managed to lose the Constitution and turn it into, accept George Bush's characterization of the Constitution,
yeah,
as a piece of paper.
Right. And they do that, and it bothers me to hear them do it and to see them do it. And when, you know, he made that statement, it turned my stomach, because he mentioned something about a pigsty, you know, and I'm saying, his side of the aisle and part of the other side also have been living in this pigsty, because they both feed at the troughs of the billionaires. So it is a pigsty, but it's of his making, not because of the people that are here.
Thank you.
Thank you.